From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, August 20th. Coming up, a trip to the produce section of the grocery store can take you around the world. An exploration of why our food travels so far to get to us. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Students in Windsor and Martinsville in East Central Illinois went back to school last week, but starting this year, they won't have their cell phones. IPM's Emily Hayes has more on the growing movement.
Kyle Thompson is the regional superintendent for six Central Illinois counties. He said a few years ago he was walking through classrooms for routine safety inspections and noticed a lot more cell phones.
I walked into a classroom once where a teacher was literally up front teaching a topic and no one was watching. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, what are we doing?
Thompson says he read about the effects of smartphones on teens and learned about a lockable pouch that could store cell phones during the day. He told local districts the regional office would help cover the cost of the devices. Martinsville and Windsor took him up on the offer and split the cost 50-50. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Environmental advocates say recent legislation by Governor J.B. Pritzker is a big step towards addressing toxic pollution in water. Pritzker has signed the PFAS Reduction Act. It will phase out the manufactured chemicals by 2032. The law will stop the production of PFAS in the manufacturing of children's products, cosmetics, sleepwear or underwear, menstrual products, and dental floss. PFAS are linked to health risks ranging from cancers and liver toxicity to reduced fertility. PFAS are also referred to as forever chemicals because of their strong carbon fluoride bond, making them highly resistant to breakdown. Conservative farmer Darren Bailey says he's seriously considering a second run for Illinois governor. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The former Republican state legislator lost to Governor J.B. Pritzker in 2022 by 13 points. While Bailey did well downstate, he couldn't grab Cook or any collar counties. Bailey says running again is on the table, but he says it's a move he and his wife are praying about.
I think people realize something's not right. Something has to change. So that's why I'm considering this. This may be the time.
DuPage County Sheriff James Mendrick and Ted Dabrowski, who heads an online right-leaning political publication, are also considering gubernatorial runs as Republicans. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A billboard in southwest Illinois advertising for a far-right militia group has been taken down. The Proud Boys ad was removed yesterday by the company that owns the billboard, Lamar Advertising. Their action came after area residents had vehemently spoken out against it over the last several days. The billboard was located in Clinton County, west of St. Louis, near the high school on the outskirts of Breeze, the county seat. The Proud Boys billboard had sparked an intense debate. At a county board meeting Monday night, residents expressed concern over what many believe to be an extremist organization. While Clinton County officials were sympathetic to those concerns, the billboard is protected by the free speech guarantees in the First Amendment. The Belleville News Democrat reports that Lamar Advertising didn't respond to requests for comment. Still to come, a trip to the produce section of the grocery store can take you around the world. An exploration of why our food travels so far to get to us. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 84 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 62 degrees, a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 83 degrees, a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 61 degrees, a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, sunny with a high of 85 degrees and a northeast wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, artificial intelligence is increasingly part of our lives, whether we want it or not. This month, Illinois became the first state to ban AI therapy tools, but there are still no federal limits on the technology. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about regulating AI in Illinois and beyond next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 in 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The interest in local food systems, like farmers markets and direct farm-to-consumer sales, is on the rise. But the U.S. is still more reliant on imported foods than ever before. Harvest Public Media's Molly Ashford is kicking off a series of stories about local food by asking why our food travels so far to get to our plate.
It's nearing 100 degrees outside of Grand Island, Nebraska, but Billy Ward is decked out in a heavy coat and hat. Ward is the manager of one of five Lineage cold storage facilities in Nebraska. He is walking me through a blast freezer, the coldest part of the 250,000-square-foot warehouse.
In this room right here, it's negative 20.
Almost all of the product stored at this particular facility is beef from nearby packing plants. It stays fresh here, and then it's shipped around the world.
For instance, today we have two Ivory Coast going out. We have an Egypt. We have a Korea. We also do Vietnam.
Imported food also sits in warehouses just like this one before heading to U.S. grocery stores. Cold storage facilities and refrigerated trucks make up what's known as the cold chain. That's the network of temperature-controlled storage and transport services that keep perishable foods fresh. Industry groups estimate that up to 70% of all food consumed in the U.S. interacts with the cold chain. Sarah Stickler, the CEO of the Global Cold Chain Alliance, says most people don't think about how their food travels.
When we talk about kind of farm to table, whether that be protein, whether that be harvest, you know, it's coming from a farm and it's going through a process. And most of the time that process includes cold storage.
The cold chain makes agricultural trade possible. And in recent years, the U.S. has become increasingly reliant on imported food, particularly fruits and vegetables. Luis Ribera, who researches North American trade at Texas A&M University, says that's led to a growing agricultural trade deficit. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates it could reach nearly $50 billion in the current fiscal year.
There's a reason why we have a trade deficit, because we consume a lot more products and we have more purchasing power than the neighboring country.
59% of fruits and 35% of fresh vegetables purchased by U.S. consumers are imported from other countries, according to the USDA. Ribera says the deficit is increasing because the products imported to the U.S. are worth more than what we export.
Fruits and vegetables are more expensive than cotton and sorghum and wheat, for example.
That's led some people to ask if the U.S. could become more self-reliant in growing its own produce. Chad Hart, an agronomist with Iowa State University, said the answer is sometimes an obvious no.
We're bringing in things like papayas and mango and, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables that realistically, we can't grow here.
Hart says the land and climate simply isn't suitable for growing things like bananas or coffee on a large scale. If farmers shifted priorities, they could hypothetically grow more specialty crops like berries or garlic or squash. But Hart says it's often more profitable to stick to one or two crops. And in the Midwest, that's typically corn and soybeans.
These crops are offering the most opportunities to gain markets and to be profitable for farmers.
In the produce section of this grocery store in Omaha, Nebraska, customers pick up products from all over the U.S. and the world. Cherries from Washington, apples from California, and tomatoes from Mexico. Hart says people in the U.S. have grown accustomed to getting the produce they want when they want it.
If U.S. consumers want bananas from Panama, well then, by God, grocery stores will figure out how to get bananas from Panama.
No matter the season or how far it had to travel. I'm Molly Ashford, Harvest Public Media.
This story is part of Food Routes, a new series from Harvest Public Media about local food. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Mawa Iqbal, Eric Stock, Will Bauer, and Molly Ashford. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.